Exodus in chapter 3, we're reading about the great shepherd of the flock, and we read through this chapter, selected verses, and also some in chapter 4. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 8, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites. Verse 10, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, that they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I look down a little, verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. He said, Cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. The Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared unto thee. There we have the sign of the leprosy. I look down to verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of them, of him whom thou wilt send. We'll maybe leave our reading there, and we know that God will bless his word. Now, I suppose if I was giving you a traditional title for my exercise, just in these sessions of ministry, it would be The Life and Times of Moses. But just for this particular consideration, I want to think of will alignment, the alignment of our will with the will of God. And that's just one of the reasons that I have introduce the conference just with this word, because it is upon my heart that if we can all get our will aligned with God, just right at the beginning of the conference, then the rest of the ministry that will flow should have the desired effect. I did say will alignment. I didn't say wheel alignment. I was getting my car serviced recently, and they tell me that I need the wheels aligned. And, well, the metaphor is maybe of some value. You see, when your car needs its wheel aligned, it's because one of the symptoms is it pulls a bit to the right, or it pulls a bit to the left, and you see, you need the whole thing straightened up. And you know, that's one of the good things about conferences, brethren and sisters, that we're able to just get things straightened up a little bit. Maybe someone here this morning, and you're pulling a wee bit to the right, and there's a danger in that. Or someone, and you're just pulling a little bit to the left. Well, Moses here is just going to get aligned with God. That's what God wants. He says, I'm going to align this man at this stage in his life. Now, without giving you an outline of the life of Moses, the best outline is probably found in Acts chapter 7, in the defense of Stephen. And there, Moses' life, as you well know, is divided up into three periods of 40 years. Now, I don't really subscribe to the idea that he was a somebody for the first 40 years and he became a nobody, and then the last 40 God used a nobody to become a somebody. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that, but I think every stage of Moses' life was important. There was development. The first 40 years, the emphasis would be on what he refused and what he chose. He refused to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Mind you, that was an important stage in his life. Certainly in the second period of his 40 years, God doesn't speak to him in that period, so God is breaking a silence here. And yet he would learn something of the wilderness and leading a flock of sheep. And we find him at the bush here. Don't forget, there was a big flock of sheep around him. It wasn't just Moses standing on his own. And so that was an important time. But Acts chapter 7 makes it very clear that it was after the second period was expired that God appeared to him at the bush. And if you read Exodus chapter 2, there's no question that in that chapter we have 80 years of his life covered in one chapter. And now from Exodus chapter 3 all the way through to Deuteronomy 34, we have 40 years. So without doubt, God is placing great importance on this period of his life. Now, in real terms, if Moses lived to 120, I suppose if we allow a man or a woman to live to, well, let's say they take all their tablets and they live to 81. Moses here was about 54. See, maybe as I opened the Bible this morning, you who are a bit older thought this is just a word for the young people. No, this is for us all. See, we all need to be aligned. But I would say this, that a man should be different at 54 than he was at 24. By the time you're 54, and I'm not maybe that far off, but, although maybe look a bit younger, but the fact of the matter is, brethren and sisters, there should be development. I'm talking on average of a person who's saved younger. I appreciate there's people here, and you aren't saved till you're in your 50s. And that's a wonderful thing, that you're here and God has saved you. But it is our prayer that God will save people young. And not only souls will be saved, but lives will be saved. We need whole lives devoted to the service of God. But there should be progress. Even a person saved later, they should always develop. But if a man now is at 54, the things that he did at 24 should be behind him. If you're still playing with your PlayStation at 54 now, you have a problem. And we're not saying that you shouldn't enjoy time with young people and all that sort of thing, but there should be development. And Moses here now, he's come to a crisis point, and God is going to align his will with Moses. And what I want you to notice just very simply is that God opens five things. Five things. Number one, God's going to open his eyes. He's going to stop him. And then number two, God's going to open his ears, going to speak to him. And then you'll notice that God's going to open his shoes. He's interested in this man's feet. He's interested in his walk. And then number four, God's going to open his hand. He says, Moses, what's that in your hand? And number five, God's going to open his mouth. I will be with thy mouth. Now, as you know, the whole point of the book of Exodus, over it we write the great word redemption, but the whole purpose of the book is that God might reveal himself and his great character, and that's what he's doing in this chapter, the great I Am. And so what Moses, what he's doing with Moses is this. He's going to reveal to Moses who he is. And the very things that he opens with regard to Moses, he's going to align each one of those with himself. Now, did you notice? As he opens Moses' eyes, he says, Moses, I have seen the affliction of the people. As he opens Moses' ears, he says, Moses, I have heard their cry. As he opens Moses' shoes on holy ground, he says, Moses, I am come down. Ground is holy because I am present. And as he opens Moses' hand, he says, Moses, I'm going to bring these people out with a strong and mighty hand. And as he opens Moses' mouth, he says, Moses, I'm going to speak and I'm going to give you the words. You see, the point is this, brethren and sisters, God was aligning Moses' eyes with God's eyes. God's aligning Moses' ears with God's ears. God's aligning Moses and his feet with God's feet. I am come back. God's aligning Moses' hand with God's hand. And God is aligning Moses' lips with his lips. Mind you, that's just what he'd want to do at this conference. What a session it would be if God could just get your ear and God could get your eye and God could stop you in your tracks and me too. And God could just fill our hand today. And God could just give us a fresh word from heaven. That's what we're praying for. And that's what I've been praying for this conference. That God will just stop us. And that God will speak to us. And that God will realign us. Brethren and sisters, we need it. That's one of the wonders of conferences. I'm glad to see a conference taking place like this, because it's a wonderful time where God can stop us. Just as Moses. Moses was just in the desert doing what he always did. And the first thing God says, I'm going to get this man's attention. He had seen a bush 100 times. He had probably seen a burning bush many times. But this one was different. Moses stops and he sees this bush is burning, but it's not consumed. Something different. You say, well, I don't see too many bushes about today. How is he going to get my attention? Brethren and sisters, we don't have a bush, but we do have a Bible. The power of the Word of God, we still believe in it for God to be able to speak to us and through it. And we could take an hour thinking of the many things that the bush points to and speaks of. Luke 20 tells us that really in context it speaks of the God of the living. The God of the living. Now Moses looks and God has appeared in a flame of fire. And that's important because that sets a theme in the book of Exodus. Fire only mentioned 3 times in Genesis. mentioned about 25 times in Exodus. Because God is going to be a God who will judge the gods of Egypt. And from start to finish, it will involve fire. So we're seeing a little glimpse. Moses is getting a little glimpse of God's fire power. Thank you, that's what we need today, don't we? A little glimpse of God's fire power. The fire, at least, is Moses, before you come out of Egypt, you're going to have a lamb that will be roasted on fire. Says Moses, I'm going to guide you. How am I going to do it? A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And all the way through, you look at the references to fire. And that would speak of God's power and God's judgment and God's holiness. And yet, the amazing thing is, though Scripture would say that our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12, quoting from Deuteronomy, this fire wasn't consuming the bush from where it was found. I remember what I said, God is revealing himself in this chapter as the great I am. He says, Moses, though there's a people in slavery, under bondage, says, I'm going to see to it that they're not consumed. I'm going to bring them out. He says, I'm going to see to it that when I bring them out, they'll go through the Red Sea, they'll not be consumed. And you see, God is showing Moses something of his character. And I know he's just getting his attention. But Moses must have been asking, why is the bush not consumed? I'm thankful today we can follow it all the way through the Calvary. What about the nation today? Just in my mind, mind you, by natural means, brethren and sisters, that little nation could have been wiped off the face of the planet long ago. But God's going to see it that they're not consumed. God has a purpose for them. God is going to redeem them, finally. But I'm thankful it all rests on one who wasn't consumed, who hung one day upon a cross at Calvary. And you know, they tried to consume him. They tried to take his life from him. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it. He's got Moses' attention. He's got his eye. What's he going to do now? He says, once he saw that Moses had turned aside, he speaks to him. Moses, Abraham, Abraham, you know the double calls. Samuel, Samuel, what did they all say? They all replied in the right way. You're a man. Now I want to say this, particularly to young people. We're glad to see so many young people here today. Listen. You notice the importance of God getting Moses' eye. Once he has his eye, he has his ear. You be careful, because that's what the world wants to do exactly. I was reading just the other day, the average young person in their 20s spends on average 7.5 hours a day behind a screen. Now, of course, in a lot of cases that's for work purposes and so on. We're not decrying it. But all that I'm saying is this, we're living in a world where the world, the flesh and the devil, has our eye big time. Another statistic is this, that video content is deemed on average to have a 92% global audience in terms of its reach. Nothing else can reach people like video content, apart from one other thing, that's the Word of God. Thank God we have the Word. Never changes, never needs to be updated. It's not dependent on an internet connection. Thank God today it's dependent on a man who entered it. It's opened up a way. But I tell you, young people, you watch the connection between your ear and your eye. Because once the world has your eye, as you leave. That's why so much emphasis is placed on the visual and the video content. And do not think that you can look at something and it not affect you. Because when the world has your eye, it has your ear. Oh, I know you might turn the volume down. I'm not talking about just the ear of sound. I'm talking about the ear of your heart. That him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I tell you, brethren and sisters, we need to be so careful. What God knew, he's teaching us. I've got Moses' eye, now I've got his ear. What does he say? Here am I. You know, I was just praying that that might be the response of all our hearts in this conference. Speaker included. So we listen to the ministry, that we'll just be aligned with God. We might just afresh. We might just utter those words in the presence of God. Start of this conference, here am I. You see, if you do, just bow your head quietly at this stage in the conference. Just offer yourself to God. Here am I, Lord. And I tell you, the rest of the ministry will take on a better meaning, won't it? We'll not just be coming to be critical of whether the brother got on well or not. We're coming to hear the word of God. Brethren and sisters, is that why we're here? Not to be connoisseurs of ministry and to see who has the best sermon. We want to hear a word from the Lord. We want to be stopped today. We want to be spoken to. We want to be sent on our way with new direction. It might not be that we have to lead 2 million people. It might just be in the assembly where you are. God's just aligning you. Just as something, just maybe it's someone in the midst of difficulty and trial and suffering. Trust that there'll be a word here for you today that you can just align yourself with his eye, with his mouth. And he has Moses now, and he has his mouth, and Moses says, here am I, Moses, Moses. What's he going to say now? Take off your shoes. The ground you stand on is holy ground. Now, always underline in your Bible, if you use a highlighter, it's a good thing, but if you're not, put it in a notepad, but always underline the first mentions of words. That's a useful thing to do. And here we have two very, very important first mentions. It's the first mention in your Bible of the word holy. Now, I know the Hebrew occurs in Genesis chapter 2 with regard to the day sanctified. That's strictly the first mention. And this is the second. But it's the first mention of the English word holy. It's also the first mention of shoes in your Bible. Isn't it interesting how God waited the whole book of Genesis to give us a mention about shoes? It wasn't that people didn't wear shoes, of course they did, but God is linking holiness with shoes and feet. I think that's very important. You see, why was it that the ground was holy? Ground was holy, there's nothing in the ground. The ground was holy because the Lord was present. The Lord's presence. And he's teaching Moses. He's Moses, you're in my presence. He says, that makes a difference. Take off your shoes. Because I'm interested in your feet. Brother and sister, he's still interested in our feet. And his holy presence should still make a difference. Brother and sisters, if we want to hear his word today, we have to recognize this. We have come into his holy presence today. Most important person at this conference is the Lord himself. Where do you go for your Bible for holiness? Well, if it was in the Old Testament, I would have to give you an outline of the book of Leviticus, because that's where the word holy is found more than any other book, by far. I'm glad you're not giving us an outline of it. That's where you find holiness in the present, sanctuary, holiness of diet, holiness of life. That's where Peter quotes from. Why should we be holy? Peter says, be holy for I am holy. What about the New Testament? Where would you go for holiness in the New Testament? Well, if it's mentioned more times in the book of Leviticus than the Old Testament, the word holy is found more times than any other book in the book of Acts. Someone has often said, it's not really the Acts of the Apostles. That's not a divinely inspired title, by the way. I tell you what a good title for it is, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. This, we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be humble today. Let us take off our shoes and acknowledge this, that we are weak and helpless without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts is all about. Not about Peter and Paul. It's about the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit in turning the world upside down and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God grew and multiplied. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Moses was going to see. That's what he means. God now has, he now has his eye, he has his ear, he has his name. That's the book of names, the book of Exodus. That's the title of it, really. First line of the book in Hebrew is, these are the names of them. And we have the name of two women. Lovely, lovely study that, those two women who stood for God. Hua and Hua. I don't know if that's how you pronounce their names. My Hebrew is not the best, but it's a book of names. And now here's chapter 3. He shall be called Moses. Why? It gives us very often in Exodus the meaning of the names, because he's drawn out of water. And now Moses, and God is going to give his name. Double call, Moses. But they say, I am that I am. They say, this is my name forever. Then you'll come to chapter 28, and there's 12 names on the shoulders of the high priest and 12 names on his breast. It's a book of names, you see, because it's a book that God is revealing his name. And that's now what God is going to say. Moses, he says, I have something for you to do. What was it? He said, that's very easy. It was that Moses would go down and deliver the people out of Egypt. No. You notice? They get this. God says to Moses, he says, I am come down, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth, verse 10, bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel? Verse 12, this shall be a token unto thee when thou hast brought forth. Now that's what Moses has to do. What has God got to do? Look back to verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. Now, you see the difference. God's going to bring them out. Moses is going to lead them. It's not Moses' job to bring them out. He couldn't do that. That's repeated over and over again. When it comes to Moses, he's bringing them forth. The word there is to lead. See, that's why he stopped them with a flock of sheep in the midst of the wilderness. He says, Moses, I have a new flock for you to lead forth. Every day you've set out, that sheep has followed you. Listen, I'm going to give you a new flock of sheep. And he tells him, he's in the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He's going to introduce him to a new priest too. But now the point is this, brethren and sisters, a very simple thing. We need to be very clear in what God has asked us to do. That's why we need to align our eyes and our ears and our mouth with God's will. Because so often we start pulling to the right and we're way busy doing things that God never intended us to do. Things we like to do, things that we want to do, and because we see someone else doing it, we think, well, he's doing that, she's doing that, I'll do this. It might not be what God intended you to do at all. And you're pulling the other direction, and you're not doing what you should be doing, and you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. God says, Moses, it's not your job to go down and deliver the people. That's my job. He says, I want you to lead them. Now, Moses would forget that at times. Listen, brethren and sisters, I'm just going to apply it very simply. It's not our job to save people. We can't do it. He says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Didn't say I want you to go into all the world and save souls. Listen, it could be different. What a mess we would make of it. We couldn't have the power to bring a soul 1 millimeter closer to God. Do you know what we all are? We all seek souls. Are we content to do that? Seek souls. Maybe it is that you're coming to lead the people in your assembly, dear brother. whatever it might be. And sure, may God just help us today to align ourselves with God as to what He would have us to be doing. Here am I. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Not, Lord, I would like to do something for You. That's good. You young people do something for God on your holidays. We're not knocking that. That's very valuable. But I tell you what the more valuable thing is finding out what God would have me to do. See, we're a bit afraid of that, aren't we? The reason we're afraid to say, here am I, is just this. He might ask us to do something to take us out of our comfort zone. Well, that's what Moses is going to happen today. And he says, Lord, I can't do this. He resists and he resents. He rebels. God says, listen, Moses, this is not about who you are. Who am I, he says, Lord? Who am I that I should do such a thing? God says, Moses, this is not about who you are, it's who I am. You live in a world of so much about self-examination and self-inspection. It's about self-discovery. It's all about self-listen. Brethren and sisters, we're going to make progress with God. It's about discovering who He is. The I am. What did Paul say? He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He didn't say what God said. God says, I am what I am. Paul says, I am what I am. In other words, Paul was only what he was because of what God made him. But no one ever made God. So I find in this wonderful title, above all else, as a title of deity, it has within it the great tense of eternity. And within it, the great truth of the Lord's humanity. What did he say? He says, before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. Here is the one in whom we have our being. This is what Moses has to get us to. Moses, he says, you got your name. How far ago did you get your name? He says, 80 years ago. Back in Exodus chapter 2. That's when Moses got his name. Moses, do you know when I got my name? Never got my name. I am what I am. It's my name forever. Well, brothers and sisters, we get a fresh appreciation of God and His might and His glory. His deity. His eternality, that would take away all the arguments amongst us and all the things, if we could get a sight of the greatness of God, that would make us just realize how little we are. Not what Isaiah got, he saw his holiness. Woe is me, for I am unclean, I am undone. God got his eyes, he got his ears, he touched his lips. Moses, do you know, I think Moses looked at himself, he genuinely felt his own failure. We can be hard on Moses that he resisted. God asked you to lead 2 million people. I think the first thing you would just see is your own failure and weakness. That's important in the call of God. God never calls anyone who thinks they're great. I remember reading a little book as a young believer. I can't even remember the title of it. It sat on my bedside, but it spoke to me. You know what the title of it was? Are you weak enough for God to use? You somebody here, and you just feel your failure. You just feel your weakness. You think, I'm just a nobody. You know, that's just a person that God can use. Moses, what's in your hand? It's a rod. It's cast it on the ground. You know the story, it becomes a serpent. Moses runs from it, a serpent. What's that? Well, the last reference to a serpent we have is in Genesis. That was the devil. You don't wonder why Moses ran from it. Moses says, God said, pick it up by the tail and it came around. Well, I think Moses maybe smiled to himself. And that rod turned from a serpent back to a rod, he thought, maybe I can do this after all. Put your hand in here, Moses. أبقى شايف، لأن هي شايفتي What's in charge of the flesh? He's power over the devil. He says, Moses, if they don't believe that, if you can take the river, the water, pour it upon the land and it will turn into blood. He says, I'm going to judge the world of Egypt. So God teaches them very early on that the devil, the flesh, and the world need to be overcome. Who can do it? I am that I am. Tell them, Moses, that's his sin. Says, Moses, that's what's in your hand. Your hand is in the hand of God. I'm going to take them out by a strong and mighty hand. And therefore, Moses, your hand is in mine. Would you just place your hand in God's hand? Start this one. Here am I. Moses still resists. What about my mouth, Lord? I'm not eloquent. Mind you, the book of Acts says he was mighty in deed and word. God says, who made your mouth? I made it. That's the great I am. Imagine one who said, I made your mouth, I made your lips. Brothers and sisters, he's still the same God today, hasn't he? He says, I will be with your mouth. I will be with your lips and teach you what to say. So, the next chapter, Moses went forth. Oh, I know he needed Aaron, but he went. I wonder about you today. Just at the beginning of the covenant, aligned with the will of God. May God just get our eyes. May God just get our ears. May God just take off our shoes. We stand on holy ground. And may God just get our hand and fill it. Consecrate me, Lord, to thy service now. By the power of grace divine, my soul look up with a steadfast look, and my will be lost tonight. And may God just fill our mouths and our lips, even with praise and worship today. May God give help as we continue to meditate upon the word of God and have our will aligned with his. May God bless you.